Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 you are four quarters with Coach Lee. Did I say you are four quarters with Coach Lee? And guess who I am? I am Coach Lee. And you rocking in four quarters with Coach Lee here on Blog Talk Radio. Hey, let me let you know that you can call in anytime you feel, anytime you want. If you want to talk about any of the topics that we're talking about, please do. Here at 347-826-7278. I am here each and every Monday. I know it's Monday Night Football, but you know what? I don't care. I think women's football is more important than Monday Night Football, even though tonight we got Brett Favre and the Vikings versus the Green Bay Packers. I don't know what the score is. Please don't call in and tell me. I will find out when I get home. Old school style, taped on the VCR. I ain't got the technology that everybody else got. But anyway, you're rocking it four quarters here on Blog Talk Radio with Coach Lee. We got four hot topics, four hot quarters right here, right now. We're going to start off with quarter number one. We're going to talk about the tier system, you know, level system, division system, however you want to call it. We're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about in quarter number two about recruiting. Got a bunch of phone calls from different teams asking, you know, how do we recruit, how do we keep our players up and all that other stuff. So, hey, I got some good news for you. Quarter number three, again, phone calls and emails of coaches. Where do we find them? So that's a lot of teams that don't have coaches at the moment during the offseason, and they're wondering where to find them. I'm going to let you know. And also in the fourth quarter, like we always do this, we got camp and conference updates. We got meme boards, hot topics. We got it all here. Four quarters with Coach Lee on Blog Talk Radio. Radio, radio, radio. Da-da-da-da. But as you know, I am not in my healthy office, and I'm always, even though I could just cut it up, I just didn't put the time in to pull up my commercials. So I'm going to go ahead and give you my sponsors for the Four Quarters of Coach Lee show. You guys should know them. You listen to me every week. It's who, what, and why, because they pick you up. It's Enterprise, yo. Enterprise, pick them. Why? Because they will pick you up. And it's all about them Adidas, your Adidas, my Adidas, we Adidas, because it's my Adidas time. You know, they rocking, you know, sports for women. They supporting women. Are you supporting them? If not, then you better get on the bandwagon, because without you, we can't have Adidas. And without Adidas, hey, it might not even be a sport of women's football. We can't get a major sponsor, you know, sooner or later. But, you know, we talk about that in the update for the camp and conference. Because it's all about teaching. It's all about learning. So we're going to start the game off like you normally do. The wicker rep blows a whistle. And then off goes the ticker, and it's off. And there it is. Deep, 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 deep in the end zone, just like the special teams coach wanted to happen so they can start on the 20-yard line and have to go 80 yards. 80 yards. Ain't nobody going 80 on me as a coach. That's what I say. But anyway, let's go ahead and talk about quarter number one. We got tier system. We got level system. We got division system. You know, it's been brought to my attention. It ain't really brought to my attention. I see it each and every day. I see it all the time about leagues having a tier system, having, you know, D1, D2, what you find in colleges. You find that in high schools. And I know in California, there's like 13 divisions. You know, based on, you know, school location, based on population, in actuality, is what the divisions are broken up to. And it's a nice debate. It's a nice topic. Can it work? Yeah, it can. But you got to understand that it got to be enough teams to be divided into a system. You know. You know, for women's football, to me, and again, this is just me, strictly me, and actually I have a couple of colleagues that have addressed some of my same feelings. But, you know, women's football is pretty new. I think that every women's football team is at the same level, meaning, you know, there's not many vets that have played 8 to 10 to 12 years. There might be one or two on a team, but that's about it. But majority of the players in women's football play a maximum of 3 years. So you're constantly starting over and over and over again. Doesn't mean because you're in a bigger city that you're a better team than a small town team? No. Doesn't mean you have more girls on your team because you're in a bigger city than a small town? No. It's all about, you know, recruiting. We talk about that in quarter number, what is that, quarter number two. But back to quarter number one, which we're talking about the tier system, the division system, or level system. Again, women's football is a continuous learning aspect for coaches. For the coaches that have been around for the longest or been with their team, they know that each and every year you've got an influx of at least half your team are rookies. You know, you're trying to keep that core. You know, I'm fortunate to have a core of about 24, 25 girls that have been with me at least 3 out of the 5 years coming up. And out of that core, I probably have about 18 that have been with me since day one. So, I mean, that is the heartbeat of the team, is that core, is retention, keeping them on the team. But because I'm in a city that, you know, I got 2 million folks that live in my city. And I got 2 million, you know, I'll just say if it's 50-50, I got 1 million women to choose from. Out of those 1 million women, probably 500,000 are over 18. If not, it would be less than that. And then out of that 300,000, let's say it's 10% were athletes. You know, 10%, you're looking at 30,000, you know. And out of that 30,000, you get another 10% that was extremist, meaning that they were hardcore athletes. You're talking about 3,000 people to choose from if you get the word out there, you know, to have an opportunity to come out and play for your team. But like I said, I'm just throwing these numbers out the top of my head, but I'm just trying to be realistic. You know, out of that 3,000 hardcore athletes, I'm looking for 1%. If I'm not mistaken, 1% of 3,000, is that 30? I'm not even quite sure. You know, my math skill, you know, ain't quite there yet, but let me see what I can get. Actually, that's 90, you know. And I'm looking for 90 hardcore players, basically. And then you cut that down in half to 45. So, again, you know, going back to the tier system, you know, as a coach, your best 11 is your best 11. You play 11 at a time. So it don't matter if a team come up with 100 players and I got 25. They only can play 11 at a time, you know. And we all know that from the first team to the second team, there is a drop-off as far as talent. Once you go beyond your 11 players, there is a drop-off on the next 11. You might have three or four players that could be first-team players as well, but it's going to be a drop-off somewhere. So, you know, my understanding of the tier system is great. I think it's a great idea if and only if those teams that are called equals play amongst themselves. You don't see D3 teams playing D1 teams in college football. So you barely see Division 1 AA teams playing Division 1 teams, such as Appalachian State, you know, which, you know, they got 90 players on a team, but trust me, the quality of the players after their 11, their first group, really drops off. But you'll have Appalachian State beat a Michigan because of mistakes. On any given Saturday, a team can win. The best 11 on the field can win. It's not about how deep you can go. You know, it's the best 11. But you don't see them week in and week out playing those schedules. They're playing once in the blue moon. But if you're going to have a tier system and still align the schedule based on where they reside in proximity to keep budget costs down, then why even have those teams play each other? Why even have a separation of a tier or a level system if you're still going to play? Case in point, Los Angeles Amazons went 8-0. They played five Tier 2 games. I'm not going to say five Tier 2 teams, but they played against teams that were in Tier 2. It only hurt them. They went 8-0 and had to go on the road and play a 7-1 team. Same thing, case in point, with the Dallas Diamonds. They played, you know, five Tier 2 games. And they played the Tier 1 team, what, three times? The same team. You can go to Seattle. And they had, wait, and then Dallas had to hit the road and play a team that had a worse record than them. And you had Seattle, who played five Tier 2 teams, home games, and had a home game. It only hurts the Tier 1 teams. It's nothing in it for them. If you win, you're supposed to win. You know, if you lose, then it drops you down in your rankings and your standings. So there's no benefit of being in a Tier 1 or Tier 2 or Division 1, Division 2 or Level 1, Level 2, Level 5 or A, B, C, D, E, F, G league if you're still playing the same teams in your area. It really doesn't. You know, the Wisconsin team, you know, Tier 2 team, they beat a weaker Tier 1 team. From my understanding, they should have been a Tier 1 team anyway. But they got the benefit of making the playoffs and going 4-4. Yeah, they wind up winning a Tier 2 system because they're probably a better team, better coach than the other team. But why handicap? My thing is, hey, we're all in the same boat. You know, again, it's all about the level of coaching. It's about the level of teaching. It's about the level of understanding the game and going out and recruiting athletes to play in your team. It doesn't matter what size your team is. It don't matter if you come from the back of the woods, you know, in the city. That doesn't matter. Just because you were born and raised in Compton don't mean you're tough. Just because you were born on the island of Hawaii don't mean that you're soft. It's a matter of how you're being taught and how you're going to defend yourself. You know, so don't let the smooth taste fool you. You know, it's not all about where they come from, it's where it's at, and that's on the football field. So, again, excuses, excuses, excuses. The bottom line is play ball. You know, there's a couple of people that said, hey, we're here to compete. You know, I use an example for a showgirl. Hey, we wanted to play the LA Amazon, we wanted to play the SoCal Scorpion, we wanted to play the Houston Energy in our first year. We want to see what the best is all about so we can have something to compare to. Do I really believe that we can win those games? Initially, yes. But in the backdrop, I'm like, you know what? They got players that played 2 or 3 years. They got a little bit more experience. I'm a realist. But you know what? We competed, and that's what it's all about. You know, we scored on the Energy, you know, with their first team out there. We got blown out, but hey, we had moral victories our first year. Trust me, we were 8-0 our first year, morally. You know, we only won two games. But morally, we were 8-0. We survived. We went through. We got our butts tapped. We competed. And we understood what it takes to win. Nobody felt sorry for him. I don't feel sorry for no other team. You know, you're going to take your bumps and bruises. Coaches got to know how to coach. Players got to know how to play. And leave all that level stuff to the imagination, because there's not enough teams. You know, again, I go back. You know, people want to compare it to colleges. Well, hell, you got over 120 D1 teams. I think it's 129. But you have a difference in conferences. You know, the so-called SEC is the strongest. You know, the Big Ten used to be up there. You got the Pac-10. Those are the ones who are competing for national championships year in, year out. Then you got the WAC, the MAC, Conference USA. Who else? I mean, I'm just getting two extremes. Yes, they got teams that are deserving to play big dogs. You know, but can they play them week in and week out? No, they get creamed. They get murdered. But you know what? They're still Division I teams. They still have opportunity to play in bowl games. You know? What are we here for? I'm here to win the championship. I ain't here to get in the consolation prize and say, oh, well, at least, you know, I got a level 3 championship, even though I played 6 level 1 teams. And I lost all of them, but I had one victory against a team of my equal, and then I went to the playoffs, and I beat them. Hey, yeah, that's a moral victory. Those are moral victories, but it's not the truth. True coaches, true owners, true players want to win the chip. The chip, the ship, the championship. That's what they want. You know, you don't see no NBA players or teams talking about, yeah, we played in the NBA this year and we didn't win. But you know what? We in the lotto. We in the lotto for next year. We might get the next Michael Jordan. You don't see teams fighting to be last place. Everybody fights for the trophy. And that's what it's all about, you know. So compete. Compete. You know, you still got another 140 Division II teams. You got another 140 Division III teams. You know, they compete at their level. That's fine. But don't cross them up, you know. If you're going to be a Tier 1 or a Level 1 or a Level 18, then be a Level A1 or Tier 1 team. If you're going to be a Level 2, Tier 2, B-level team, then be a B-level team. And compete against those teams if you choose to. My situation is, I think it's just an easy way to say that you guys aren't no good, you can't compete. That's how I would take it personally. Because how are you going to judge me what level my team is going to be based on you're new or based because I only got 24 players or I only got 36 players or my budget's only $10,000 and their budget is $40,000? That don't mean crap. That don't mean that that team is better than me. But I do understand the tier, the level, and the alphabet soup system. I understand it completely. You know, you don't see high school kids, you know, playing high school football talking about, yeah, man, I'm trying to get a D3 scholarship. You don't. They want to play top dog. They'd rather go to a MAC school, a Big West school, a WAC school, than to go play Division II, Division III. I'm sorry. I'll play for the sorriest D1 school because I want to play D1 ball. That's where it's at. You know? If you want to have a cupcake league, then call it what it is, cupcake. Call it. I would. So I'm a competitor. I want to compete amongst the best. I want to be amongst the best. I want to be rocking with the big dogs. I want to be playing with the big dogs. I don't want to be on the porch and be some little chihuahua, you know, just barking. That ain't me. I want to be barking with the big dog. Roof, roof. That's what I want. And I'm pretty sure the players want that too. So, you know, hey, if it works for you, it works for you. If it don't, it don't. But it doesn't make any league. You don't make any organization any better than the other organization who's trying to compete. I will put any team in any league against the top 5 teams in one league. I'll put them against the top 5 teams in the other league. I bet there'll be competitive games. And on any given Saturday, who knows who will win? I'll put the bottom 5 teams and the bottom 5 teams of both leagues, put them together. It'll be competitive. But, you know, hey, we don't know who's going to win. That's why it's played out on the field. That's why sports is played on the field. It ain't in the chat rooms. It ain't on the chat boards. You know what I'm saying? It ain't there. I can talk all the smack I want. But until we play the game, I won't know the results. So, again, you know, hey, peer system is what it is. It does what it does. I'm not a true believer in it. But, you know, I don't think women's football is at that point where we have to start dividing each other up. And there ain't even 100 teams out there already. You know? The bottom line is you play who's in front of you. If you ain't got no budget, you kick they butt. Then you go on to the playoffs and you kick they butt. And then you go on to the championship game and you kick they butt and it's all settled and all done. So I respect those teams that won championships because it was done on the field. It wasn't done in the boardroom. It wasn't done in the classroom. It was done on the field. So let's keep women's football on the field and stop trying to divide us based on our markets. You know, if you got 11 and I got 11, then damn it, we're going to play 11. All right? I am out for that quarter. As you can see, I can get the mumbling and jumbling because you're rocking it four quarters here with Coach Lee on Blog Talk Radio. If you want to dial in, you can always dial in at 347-826-7278. Hey, you want to drop me an email? You know, because I'm always talking about topics that you want to talk about, and I give you my personal opinion. You can always drop an email to me at LasVegasShowgirls@yahoo.com. That's Las Vegas spelled out, Showgirls, SHOWGIRLZ@yahoo.com. You can catch me there. You can catch me on the meme board. That's Women's Taco Football Group. Meme.com. The number one. Did I say the number one? One. Come on, y'all. Do. It's the number one networking board for women tackle football. All right. Moving on. You know, again, I'm going to drop a little side note for my sponsors. We got Enterprise. Why? Because it will pick you up. And we got Adidas. My Adidas, your Adidas, we Adidas. We need to all be rocking Adidas. Why? Because we need shoes on our feet with no shoe strings in. We did not win them. We bought them. And that's what sponsors want. It's us to buy product. All right. Moving on. Quarter number two. Got an email talking about recruiting. Coach Lee, how is it that you're able to recruit? I think I talked about this in prior shows. And like I said, if I repeat myself, oh, well, we just relearn. That's all we're going to do is relearn. You know, a good teacher is going to keep teaching and teaching and teaching until we all get it. They're not going to leave anybody behind. So in recruiting, again, my method is there's no stopping in recruiting 24/7, 7 days a week. You know, it's like hard times. And that's what we do. That's what I do. That's what my coaches do. I go in Taco Bell, I might see somebody who likes an athlete, and I'm dropping them a flyer. I'm dropping them a magazine book that we have. I'm dropping them a website. I'm dropping an email. I recruit. I go to the local colleges, and I talk to the coaches and ask them about their alumni. Do they have an alumni list that might be still living here in Vegas? You know, ex-athletes, you know, because, again, for women, it's kind of hard. Once you finish sports in college and then go out into the real world, there's not much activity or competition sports for you. The best that I know of is co-ed softball and maybe soccer. Soccer's growing real fast. But that ain't no contact. Both of those non-contact sports, you know, everybody's not moving, shaking, and bacon at the same time. You know, it's kind of boring to me. Football is the ultimate sport. So, again, I go out, I recruit, you know. I go to a soccer game, those co-ed games. You know, I get on Craigslist, put an ad on there, hey, looking for women football players. Yes, real women playing real tackle football. I get a couple responses from there. You know, I go to Park and Rec and put up some flyers. I go to the Park and Rec department and recruit workers that work in Park and Rec because those are ex-athletes at one time or another that might have majored in physical education and recreation. I go to the high school, talk to the coaches there. You got coaches that still want to play ball or do something or learn something, I got two coaches on my team, basketball coaches. I recruit, you know, go to JC and recruit players who just didn't get that D1, D2, that scholarship. They ain't playing sports no more. You know, they just played it in high school. So you got to be aggressive when you go out there and recruit. Do I go to the clubs? No. Ain't nobody at the club want to go play some football necessarily. You got to go where people are active. You got to go to the marathons. You know, you got to go to tailgate parties. You got to go to the sorority games. You need to go and what else? What else they got? You know, go to the football games. You see mamas, single moms there who want to teach their son how to play football. Best example for them to play for themselves so they can understand the game. You know, recruiting is very, very valuable. You know, there's some teams out there that have fallen apart because they're not serious about recruiting. They feel that they're the only team in the neighborhood and got kind of lazy. Well, if we build it, they will come. Bull crap. You build it, you better promote it. You build it, you better do some marketing. If you're spending your money, you better be promoting. Just because you build it don't mean they're coming. Hell, when you build it, they don't even believe that it's being built. That it's even built itself. So, again, you got to be aggressive. Each one bring one. Each one bring one. You know, that's another way to recruit. If you got 20 girls out there, then, you know, their job is to go recruit one. Now you got 40. You do that one more time, one more again, now you got 80. It's simple. It's simple. You know, you need to go to these conventions. You need to go to, you know, get the word out. Send out information to all the athletic directors. Man, with the internet nowadays, all you need is an email, and you just type up one letter, and you just drop everybody's email, and you can make the announcement. Make the announcement to athletic directors, you know. For those 18-year-old girls in high school, hell, my rookie of the year was in high school last year, Nikki Johnson, wide receiver, slash quarterback, slash running back, second in league in receptions with 18-year-old senior. Because we went out there and we shook every bush. We knocked on every door. And we continuously doing that because we have to. Again, you know, do anybody know what the acronym for NFL stands for? For most of the NFL players, it stands for not for long. That's their career in the NFL, not for long. That's what NFL stands for. Or not fun league is the other one. So, you know, they're taking away all the celebrations and everything. I don't know what the acronym for women's football is, but the bottom line is, you know, you're only going to get a handful of them out there that's going to stay longer than 3 years. We're not paying them. They're paying us to play. So you're not going to hold on to a product that they got to pay to do it all the time to have fun. So, again, you got to recruit, you guys. Come on. There's too many creative people out there that know too many other people, that know other people, that can get people out here. You know, it makes no sense. It makes no sense for a team to have 15 to 20 players. That's just laziness. That is. I mean, if you just told them, hey, we're having a free fish fry, you'll get more than 50 women there. So maybe that might be your tactic. Hey, we're having a free barbecue for all the ladies in the city of whatever. I bet they'll come out and roll. And then you throw the football around at the picnic. I bet there you go. See how simple that is? It's not hard to recruit. What do you have to offer? Hell, if you got a good coaching staff, you teach them. You know, if you're a winning team, then you need to play it up that we're winning. But, coach, what if we're a losing team? We ain't won the game. Then, damn it, you better find something to attract these athletes out there. You know, cut down the cost. Now, that's one of the big problems out there because, again, if the owner ain't stepping up and paying three-quarters of the cost to be in a team existing and they're relying on the players to come up with half the budget, then you're not going to get many players out there that can afford $500, $1,000, $1,500 to play 8 gigs. It ain't worth it. and I can get hurt, and I got to carry insurance, oh, no, you ain't going to get me out there for that. So a lot of teams could be in big markets and still got small rosters because they charge them too doggone much. Find an adequate price, a reasonable price, you know, that these women can play, and you won't have no issue. Oh, when it was free to play for the showgirls, I had them coming out the end game, out the woodwork when it come out there. We had 160, and I quote me loud and clear, 160 at tryout. But it took 6 months to build that, though. Aubrey Duncan from LA Amazon was at my first tryout. We had 7 girls show up. Instead of getting discouraged and saying, you know what, ladies, we're going to try to do this again, you know, 2 or 3 weeks. Guess what? We ran a tryout right then and there. Why? Because we had 14 media outlets there. Me, knowing the media, they're not going to try to get a broad picture of all these people there. That's not what they're there for. They're there to report the story that there's going to be a football team in their town. And most of the interviews are one-on-one. Most of the shots are a ball in the air and somebody catching it. But once that went on the news, OMG, I got emails galore. Because you got to play it up. You got to blow it up. You got to make it better than what it was or what it is. Call it the hype. Hype your team up. If you're 0-8, hype them up. We 0-8 because we didn't have you on the team. You're a good player, and I know we can win the game with you. Now we need 8 more people like you. Now we can go 8-0. Come on, get some hype, yo. You got to get some hype. If you ain't got hype in recruiting, if you're not 100% happy behind what you say, then how do you expect somebody to come play for you? If you say, oh, yeah, I play football. We okay. Yeah, we had all right coming. How's that going to get somebody that's a good athlete to come play for you? You got to be hyped, yo. You got to be like, hey, man, we had a hell of a year. We get to travel. We get to go see other cities. We get to go play other teams. We get to just headbang and bust each other up, throw elbows. It's legal. I get pissed off at work. I get to go to practice. I get to knock somebody out. Then I get to go in the game and knock a couple of them out. Come on, put some hype behind it. You watch MMA. You watch all this reality TV. Because that's what generation we're in right now, this reality BS. Fascination of somebody else's life, wishing it was our life. You got to create that hype to these other ladies that want to play on your team, be it young or old. You got to find that competitive power, that competitive juice, and just sprinkle it all over your town. Got to. Have to. You must. So again, in recruiting, you got to go out there. In recruiting, you got to have on gear, be it your uniform jersey, be it a t-shirt, be it your hat, be it a scarf, be it a notebook. You got to have flyers on you 24/7. I don't care if they're old tickets. Hand them out. Make sure your website is up to date. I am not a computer guru or anything, but you know what? I update the Showgirl website at least once a week, once every other week at the least. But if your website is stale, we still talking about April of 2009 and the results of the first game, then you ain't doing your job. You're not hyping up the team. You're not recruiting. Your recruiting tool is the internet. It's the website. It's your calling card. Put forth the energy and the effort to make sure that your team is on the map. And I'm pretty sure we can go into each and every town. I don't care what team you are. I don't care if you've been around 10 years. There's still people in your own backyard that don't even know you exist. It's people that live right next to your football field. Don't even know that they watch. There's a football going on right across the street from their house. You know, why not get into the parades? I don't care what kind of parade they are. Corporate parade, gay and lesbian parade, Martin Luther King parade, Christmas parade, Thanksgiving parade. You got to get out there. Fish parade. Why am I saying fish? I must be hungry for some catfish or something. But anyway, you got to do it. I'm going to finish up with quarter number two because, again, recruiting, hey, you got to get out there and put in the work. If you don't, your team won't exist. It won't survive. Bottom line, you don't recruit, they don't happen. No different than recruiting teams to play in your league. If you don't recruit, then eventually you will die because there's not enough teams in your area and you don't have $1 million in the bank to pay for all them long trips. So wake up, do what you got to do. So I'm going to go ahead and go to halftime. Got to go to halftime. I wish we had a Grambling Band here or Alcorn Band or Alabama A&M Band because they'd be rocking. You know, that's part of your show. You got to do something at halftime. Just don't leave the field. Got to have something for the fans. All right? So we're going to, again, commercial break, drop off a little Adidas because we got to get Adidas on our feet. We got to get Adidas on gloves. We got to get Adidas headband. You know, if it ain't Adidas, it got to be Adidas. I'm sorry. You know, they're supporting women's football, but you got to support them. If not, hey, they will just, you know, close up shop and go to other markets. You know, I'm not promoting them just because I love Adidas. I'm promoting them because they're willing to put money out there for women's football. But if, you know, it's like any business. If they ain't making no money, they ain't going to support it. So, Adidas and for Enterprise. Hey, everybody got Enterprise. I don't care who's listening to this show. There's an Enterprise station somewhere near you. Pick Enterprise. Why? Because it'll pick you up. Why? Because, again, they're supporting women's football in some capacity. I got ways to get them national, but, you know, hey, you got to call me. You know, I don't care if giving up information. I just want to see us all do good. I just want us all to do better. So, again, pick Enterprise. Why? Because they support women's football. All right, here we go. Quarter number three. Coaches. Where do we find them? Again, I get emails quite often. And like I said, I use them as topics. You know, I use this form to answer those emails. Because you're four quarters with Coach Lee. That's four quarters. That's one, two, three, four. Four quarters with Coach Lee here on Blog Talk Radio continues. And like I say, you can always drop in anytime at 347-826-7278. Hey, I leave this forum open. I leave it open for you, me, and everybody else to come and voice themselves on the show. I put a pause in the action just to hear what you got to say, be it good, bad, negative, or positive. It don't matter. Hey, if we can use it, let's move it and move on the football forward. But anyway, quarter number three, coaches, where do we find them? Again, I got a couple of emails this past week from some teams who are lacking coaches. Of course, these are women who are calling to find out how can they get coaches. You know, there's no better time than now to find coaches for your program. And this is advice that I've given them. And take it for what it's worth. My thing is this. If I was a team right now without coaches and it's football season, I would go to the best high school program in my area. Because, again, I ain't got no budget to pay them. So I would go to the best high school programs in my area. I will go to their practices because most of them practice after school from 2 to 5, somewhere in between there. So you get to see how they run practice and see the structure and the organization and see how the coaches get along with the players and the interaction and all that other good stuff. It's like an interview, just going and watching. Most high school practices are open anyway to the public. They can't shut it down. You know, they might ask who you are. But then, yeah, you go up there and you find out, take notes. And then you go to the head coach and ask them, you know, are they willing to help coach or to coach or help find coaches for your program? And, of course, you butt on, oh, I love your program. I love your structure. I love the offense you run. I love the defense you run. You know, I love the interaction you have with the players, and that's what we need for our football team. And, of course, the first thing that most high school coaches or most men are going to do is they're going to laugh. Women's football, yeah, right. But so you got to be prepared. You want to give them a DVD of your team. You want to give them a DVD. You know, if you're not that good and your football has been sloppy and you ain't won the game, you might not want to give them your film. You might want to give them a footage of a successful football team in women's football to show them, you know, women play real football. And that's what the whole meme board is all about, you guys. Again, I'm dropping the subject a little bit, but again, to put your product up there so others can use it to grow with. You know, send them to the meme board. Let them see the highlights of real women playing football. You know, women diving, catching, jumping, hurling, you know, cutting back, running over, tackling, knocking out, you know. And let them see that this is a real football. Once they realize that it's a real football, then they're going to give you some answers. Because we play in the springtime, that is it. Any football coach, I'm talking about the best football coaches, want to coach football year in and year out. But in high school, they can't coach them in the spring. So in order to sharpen your skills as a coach, you want to coach, you know, in the spring. So why not pick up a women's football team? If I can't do it as a head coach, my offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator might want to coach over there, because guess what? Every football coach wants to be a head coach at some point in time. What better place and what better way than to get some experience as a head coach than with women's football? So simple. I mean, that is the easiest thing to do if I'm looking for a coaching staff. Why did I pick high school? Because, again, it's equivalent to what we're doing here, women's football. You need somebody that is stern with structure and have, you know, their program together. Because the best football teams for women's football are those teams that have good programs, good workout programs. But also the benefit of having a high school coaching staff or coaching staff is, guess what you get to use? You get to use their high school as their home field. Guess what you get to use? You get to use their weight room as your official workout gym. Guess what you get to use? You get to use their track to run on. Guess what you get to use to help you in negotiation? Hey, we can't pay you, but let's say this. 25% of the gate revenue will go towards the high school football program or can go to the coaches and let them do whatever they want with it. Hey, manipulate and work out a deal that benefits you where you ain't got to come out your pocket. You know, most high school coaches get a stipend of anywhere between $1,500 for the season up to $3,500. That's the average stipend. You know, you go to Texas, there's some coaches that get $20,000, $25,000 just to coach, you know, football, not even teach, you know. We got a place like that here in Vegas that has that type of money. But I know none of the football teams out there are paying, you know, these coaches anywhere close to that. You know, a coach would be lucky to get, you know, a game shirt, a whistle, a notebook, and get his or her her travel costs taken care of. You know, most coaches would be willing to coach just to do that. You know, or some gas money, something. But use it to negotiate. That's why you go to the high school. Don't go to Part 1 of football. Yeah, there's some great coaches in Part 1, but they don't have the resources. You know, they don't have practice facilities. They don't have lights. They got to rent those things just like you would, just like you and I have to do. You know? But again, go to the high school. There's plenty of coaches. The JV coach is looking to get some more experience. The offensive coordinator is looking to get some experience. The fresh off coach is looking to get some extra experience. Not say that he or she will be the head coach, but that's what you want. You might get a couple. You might get two high school coaches that might want to join forces with you and coach. So, again, you know, the other thing is, hey, put an ad out in the paper. Put an ad out in the sports page. Women's football team, looking for coaches. You'll get a lot of responses. Go to Craigslist. You know, MySpace, you can do that. Facebook, yeah, you can do that as well. But Facebook, you know the worldwide. You're going to get emails from people in Spain talking about, yeah, I coach you. You got to bring me to the United States, you know, and all that stuff. You ain't got the money to do that. Let's be real. Go to your local paper. Put an ad in there. Spend some money, you guys. That's one thing that women's football teams don't do. You don't spend no money. In order to make money, you got to spend money. In order to gain knowledge, you got to spend money to go get it. It ain't going to come to your back door. Hint, hint, Women's Football Camp and Conference. Yes, I plugged it, and I'm going to plug it. If you ain't going to spend the money, then how are you going to get the resources to be better? All this information I'm giving to you is free. Ain't no big deal. Anybody can come up with what I'm talking about. But can you sit in front of, you know, a Division I coach and have them talk X's and O's with you, you know, for the time period? Can you talk to sponsors that are going to be there? Can you talk to people that can help you put together your sponsor package, you know? Again, in order to make money, you got to spend money. In order to get knowledge, you got to spend money to get the knowledge. But what does that have to do with coaches? Sometimes you got to spend money to get coaches. Look at these D1 school coaches making nearly $3 million a year, but the professor on the campus is making $65,000, $80,000 to teach our youth. It's backwards. But guess what? That football coach is bringing in 100,000 people a game because they win. So you times that times, what, $50 a ticket? You're talking about $5 to $10 million generated just in one home game. And that's just that selling tickets. That's not talking about beer. That's not talking about soda. That's not talking about hot dogs and nachos. So, again, the coach is very important. They lay down the foundation of your team. Without good coaching, you're never going to have a good team. I don't care if you got the best athletes. If you're not being taught how to play, I don't care how fast you are, you're going to lose games. It's all about coaching, you guys. So go out and find coaches. If you got coaches, get them in some clinics. They need to go to clinics to get better. Don't allow these coaches to tell you, oh, I'm Mr. Everything and I know about everything about football. Uh-uh. Hell, even if you guys got to put in a little fundraiser and do a car wash or something, just to send your coach to a clinic in a camp so they can come back and teach what they learned. Same thing with the players. It don't take all 30 of you guys to go to a camp. It only takes 2 or 3, 4 of you guys. That's all it takes. So do a fundraiser for your coaches. Do a fundraiser for your owners and management. Do a fundraiser for your players and get the knowledge at camps and conferences that are offered near you or for you. So again, to get your coaches, you got to get out there. You got to hustle. You got to rub elbows and you got to network. The best time and best place to network is now because football season is here. It's in the middle of the season. Most high schools are halfway through their season. Now, a lot of coaches might not talk to you initially right now because they're concentrating on their season. I mean, you know, they might, you know, they might evaluate. Again, if you got video, hey, how could you improve our team? Here's the offense that we're running. You know, what can we do different? What do you see? You know, should we have these people playing wide receiver instead of offensive line? Or should we make these wide receiver offensive linemen and make these linemen running backs? Because a good coach is going to put the players in the right position to win. But if you don't have video, if you don't have any visual, and you tell some guy, some coach, can you coach women's football? Again, they're going to laugh because they've never seen it before. So you got to push them to see some of the best women's games so they can fall in love with it like they fall in love with what they're doing with high school ball and put it on the table for you guys. So, again, I'm finished with quarter number 3. That's just my take on, you know, coaches and where to get them. Again, I'm not going to give away all the secrets yet because you know why? Your butt got to come to the camp and conference. That's what we're going to lay it out at. This is the information that we're talking about. This is information that we're going to share. You know, not just me, but other coaches, you guys. I'm not claiming to be Mr. Football Guru. I'm not claiming to be Mr. Marketing Guru. I'm not claiming to be the branding guru. I'm not even wanting to be a guru. I just want to be a champ. And I'm never too old to learn new tricks or new trades. And that's what you got to be willing to do, you know? Because you're rocking 4 quarters right here, right now, on Frog Talk Radio Continuum. Like I said, you can always check in with me at 347-826-7000. 7278. You can drop me an email at LasVegasShowgirls@yahoo.com. That's Las Vegas spelled out. SHOWGIRLZ@Yahoo. You can reach me on the meme board at womenstacklefootballgroup.meme.com. And speaking of .meme.com, hey, let's talk about some hot topics real quick, and then I'll finish up with the camp and conference updates. Right now, you know, the meme board is rocking, you guys. I am loving it. It is off season, and we're averaging about 25 to 30 people per week joining the meme board. Both fans and athletes or women football players and coaches. You know, would I like to see more? Oh, heck yeah, I would like to see more. I would love to see more. You know, if it's 4,000 women that play football, why don't we have 4,000 women on the meme board? I mean, it got all the beautiful things, you know, tips and drills, team sites, fan information, events. It's all there. WomenTacklefootballGroup.meme.com. But let's go over there and see what the hot topic is at the moment. Wow, believe it or not, it's a tier system. Ain't that a trip? And I have to make a couple of comments since we didn't have any call-ins. I'll just make some of the comments then that are on the meme board about the tier system. Basically, it says WFA tier system is in the works. Question: any chance of WFA plans on having something comparable to the IWFL system? Calling it a tier is bearable. Calling divisions like they do in NCAA would be better. Blah, 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 blah. So that was the actual topic. You know, as far as I know, me being in WFA, there is no plan for a tier division ABC system. I think a lot of us owners feel that we want to play for the championship, we want to be the big dogs, and that's how football is, you know. We have Thomas O'Boyle who replied back that I hope not. I hate when teams are separated like that on this level. It's like telling them that they suck before they play. Again, I personally hope not. You got Lynn Marie Liberty Ellison. There have been no talks of having a tier system in the WFA that I know of. I personally believe that it is one of the differences between the WFA and the IWFL. Tiers appear to create more challenges at the team level than fixing them. Then you got Coach Bill. I think they need to stick to just playing football. Compete or do not compete. Then you got John Spatz. In what way, if he's replying to Lynn Marie's response. Then you got John replying again. Seems like it would be a deterrent to get new teams to join if the league did not adapt a tier system. Overall, it would be a lesser of two evils to adapt a tier system. We need to get rid of the high school district format and adopt the Ohio format. Of course, he's an Ohio Buckeye. He said the IWFL is great because of their tier system. You can keep playing ball and even compete for a small team championship even though you don't have the numbers yet to compete with the big girls. Can you picture a Division III school in Texas playing Texas Longhorns under the NCAA philosophy or compete or don't compete? Neither can I. That's a good point. But again, I don't think any team have that much history or have enough veterans to be a Longhorn versus a Texas Division III school. That's just my personal opinion. Then you got Lynn Marie responding back. The problem is that even as a Tier 2 team, they are still playing Tier 1 teams, something like what I talked about earlier. In other words, due to spacing between Tier 1 teams, they still have to compete with the big girls or suffer another consequence of traveling further to meet up against the Tier 2 teams. And, yeah, traveling will kill any league. I don't care if it's badminton league, basketball league, football league. Travel kills leagues. Travel costs per player and equipment costs per player still exist whether you have 12 or 50 players. In fact, the less buying power, the cost may be even higher. Then marketing as a lower-level mark on women's team presents its own challenges. As a business person, I have a hard time believing that a women's team should start in a market so small that its management can't get 20 or 30 players, just like I've been talking. especially if the team wants to turn a profit. Again, what are you in this for? To let the girls play or to make money? Again, some things that we talk about at the camp and conference. These are just a few things I question about the tier system. While I appreciate the intent of a true tier system, I don't think it's possibly yet to reap the true benefits of a tier system. Like I said, I said that earlier. We have 100 teams, and they're not all in the same league, so it doesn't pan out. It doesn't work out. All right, moving on. Like I said, I try to get cover some things. And then, of course, John replies, where do I begin? Comment number one, tier systems don't make leagues great. Great teams make leagues great. And then he says, parity, evenly matched games, which is a certain degree of good execution, makes leagues great. If you have parity and even match games, people will go to the game whether it's high school, college, or pro. And the example was the Lakers blew everyone out and fans stopped going to the basketball game for lack of parity. BS. I don't recall anybody not going to Lakers game because they win. That's wrong. That got to be wrong. But anyway, comment number two, tiers appear to create more challenges at the team level than fixing them. And his comment was, if you're going to be playing the same team anyway, regardless if the team is tagged at tier one, tier two, what's wrong with providing an incentive for the small dogs to have something at the end of the season to shoot for as the most important goal, tier two playoff? You know, like I said, my answer to that would be having a bowl game. You know, I think every team should be able to have a bowl game if they don't make the playoffs. That's fine. That's how you can rip that. It don't have to be a playoff. It can just be an extra game that their owners can agree upon. You know, so again, it's some great things over there on the meme board. And like I said, I ain't got time to go through it. It's a whole bunch of good questions and good answers and it's sensible debating. It's not you're better than me or whatever, yours is BS. It's people putting their brains together and coming up with solutions. And that's the key to women's football, coming up with solutions. But before we do that, again, just a reminder, we got the Women's Football Camp and Conference, January 7th through the 10th, 2010, in Las Vegas, Nevada. The cost is $150. Yes, I said it, $150 to get that knowledge, to get that experience on the field. Is it going to be anything like last year? Hey, last year was set up to be sweet. But again, what we're missing was you. You know, it's all in what you put into it. I know what I've put into it. I know the speakers that are going to be speaking at this conference are top-notch. They're going to be able to help you. And like I said, I guarantee you a lead with a wealth of knowledge. You know what I'm saying? Hey, that's what we're putting together. Now, if you choose to lose and miss the ship, that's on you. If you don't think $150 is worth it, then that's on you. But again, in order for this to build, hey, it's a cost to pay. It's a cost to play. And it's up to you to do what you do to make it happen. And so, you know, for my next shows, I'm gonna reach out to some of those who are going to be a part of the camp and conference, be it coaches, be it speakers, and give you a taste right here, right now, on Fort Worth with Coach Lee of what it's going to be about. Now, we got to November 1st, you guys. Hey, spots are filling up. You know, I'm not going to sit up here and bag anybody or whatever. Spots are filling up. It's up to you. What do you want to get out of it? You got to put into it. So, again, sign up, be down, get your hotel room, because it don't make no sense to sign up and don't have a hotel room. When you get here, room's going to be outrageous. We worked out some special rates just for you. Get it done. You can always go to womensfootballcamp.com. You can check it out. We update every Thursday on what's going on. Speakers, guests, all that. It's going to be held in first-class venue, UNLV. Hotels right across the street. Very reasonable, $79 a night. Divide that by four. What's that, $20 a night if you spend it? You just got to get here. You get here, I guarantee you. It'd be well worth it. But anyway, this is Coach Lee, and I am about to get up and out of here. I love it. I love you. I love it. I love women's football. And it's all about coming from the heart. It's all about putting it out there. Four Quarters with Coach Lee, and I'm out. Peace.